Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. How do you feel? Are you fatigued, have allergies, indigestion, skin conditions, or anxiety? When you see your doctor, do you leave with prescriptions for medication without addressing the root of the problems? Today's guest answered yes to several of the above issues, and when he was told he needed medication, he set out on an incredible journey that not only changed his life, but the lives of his patients, too. Now, you can learn how to feel more vibrant and healthy by reading the eye-opening book by Alejandro Yungar, M.D., Clean, the Revolutionary Program to Restore the Body's Natural Ability to Heal. Dr. Yungar believes that the majority of these common ailments are the direct result of toxic buildup in our systems. Clean offers a program that provides all the tools necessary to support and reactivate our detoxification system. Alejandro Yungar, MD, is board certified in internal medicine and cardiology, having trained and now practicing in New York City. In addition, after completing his medical training, Dr. Yungar studied Eastern medicine in India. He was a medical director of the We Care Holistic Health Center in Palm Springs, a world-famous center for fasting, cleansing, and detoxification. Currently, he is in private practice at the renowned 1111 Wellness Center and is the director of integrative medicine at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. Dr. Yungar, welcome to It's Your Health.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad. Now, while introducing you, I did allude to the fact that you did have some health challenges. Can you tell us about that and about your journey to health and well-being and also about the way you grew up in Uruguay?
Yeah, I grew up in Uruguay in a country, it's a small country that basically did not have any supermarkets or any processed foods, and we used to eat local, seasonal fruits and vegetables that we bought at the farmers market. I mean, so we're a very wholesome, not too modern way of growing up. Then after medical school in Uruguay, I came to New York because I wanted to do my training, my postgraduate specialty. I wanted to do it in the place where the books that I was reading in Uruguay were being written. So I came to New York. And the change in lifestyle was so big, mostly in terms of what I ate and when I ate and how I ate, that it started taking a big toll on me. And by the second year, I started having some allergies. By the third year, the allergies got so bad they needed medication, including prednisone, which is the strongest gun of the anti-allergics, and then my bowels starting having difficulty digesting the food that I was eating or the food-like products that I was eating. And I had alternating constipation with diarrhea and always discomfort and bloating. And to make matters worse, by the end of my training, I was utterly depressed. Mm. And seeking for help amongst my colleagues, I ended up with three specialty consultations, a gastroenterologist who diagnosed me with irritable bowel syndrome, an allergist for my severe allergies, and a psychiatrist for my so-called depression, and ended up with seven prescription medications, which made no sense to me and launched me on my desperate search for a different kind of solution.
Now, did any of those doctors ask about your lifestyle, your eating habits, your stress levels?
That's
a big problem.
Not in a way that makes me remember today.
Okay.
I remember other questions they asked me, but not that. And nobody explained to me the relationship between these things and the symptoms that I was experiencing.
So you were not going to, like, I don't want to take these medications, which I think is great. And so you ended up going to India, is that correct?
Yeah. And the reason why I did that, I wasn't going to study a different kind of medicine. I was so desperate to shut my mind, which I realized was constantly chattering and criticizing myself and thinking about all the horrible things that could happen in my job. And I mean, it was this constant chatter in my mind, which I thought really was me going mad. You know, now I know that everybody has that problem. Just nobody
They call that monkey mind, I think.
Yeah, except that nobody talks about it. So, but at that time, I didn't know. I didn't study it in medical school. Nobody told me that. Just like nobody told me anything about nutrition. Nobody told me anything about how the mind works. And so I was left alone, thinking I was mad and looking for a solution. And then finally, by chance, found a book that spoke about meditation, not medication. I decided this was what I was looking for, a way to shut my mind. And that's how I ended up in India.
Oh, okay. And so while you were there, you learned to meditate, and that made a big difference. I tend to have monkey mind, and I'm still trying. I haven't given up. My husband's been meditating for years, and it really makes a huge difference. And there's something that, you know, when you talk about in the book, you talk about, obviously, the toxins and the effects of the food, and you also talk about something called quantum toxicity, which has to do with the stress in the mind. And
What quantum toxicity stands for I give the people the idea that toxins are not limited to physical chemicals.
Okay.
There can be thoughts that are toxic. There can be emotions that are toxic. There can be relationships and government and financial institutions that are toxic. So toxicity comes in many, many ways. Quantum toxins are those toxins that are not measurable by weight or size, like thoughts and feelings.
Okay. Yeah, because you can, you know, like you were saying at this, you know, going to a supermarket, for example. When I go to a regular supermarket, I literally cannot find anything to eat. And people used to laugh at me in college, and I'd say, I don't like to eat things out of packages. I eat really clean, just like your book. But yet I tend to have a lot of, because of the monkey mind and the stress, it's interesting how you can eat really clean, but if you have all that stress, you're also going to have the toxic buildup in your system. Is that correct?
Well, you're mixing a little bit there.
Oh, okay.
the thing is, whether you eat it clean or not, it doesn't mean that you will be avoiding what I call another inconvenient truth. You know, which is the global toxicity, the barrage of toxins that overload our system day in, day out, just by the mere fact of living in a modern city.
I see. So even if you are trying to eat organic foods and purified water and avoid white flour and sugar, you're still getting the toxins in your system.
Yes. Not only that, but the whole environment in which we live, which is not really what nature intended as a design for us, is toxic in itself. So modern life, you know, is by definition toxic before we invented any chemicals.
I see. Now, in the book, you talk about some blue zones that are like nice places to live. Can you tell us about those?
Well, I mean, do you watch Oprah?
I haven't in a while. I do like Oprah, but I don't watch a lot of television.
There was an episode that that talked about the blue zones, and this is where I learned about it. There are certain areas, certain villages or towns or cities around the world in strategic locations, but nobody knows, you know, what determines these towns to be the way they are geographically. But what happens in those places is that people live to 120, 130, and you go there and you see 90-year-old people riding bicycles and chopping wood and you know, and harvesting their gardens. So and so they go in and they take a look at what these people are doing and what are they eating, what are they doing, how are they living, and then there's a few common things that no matter where on earth these zones are, these themes are repeated. And one of them is a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. Another one is a sense of community and purpose. You know, so when that it joins, then people seem to live longer and better lives.
Yeah, you know, when I was in college, I went and spent some time with some relatives on a kibbutz in Israel, and there were, like 80-year-old and 90-year-old people riding around on bicycles, and they were out picking fruit and doing work, and everybody was working, and it was such an amazing environment. And I thought, wow, this is really great to see so many people active. And they did have a nursing home, but the people are like over 100. I mean, everybody else was in pretty good shape.
Yes.
And it's that sense of community. that I think is really important. I think that's really missing in our culture. Now, I want to talk about something that is, you know, that's really prevalent in our culture that everyone thinks is so healthy, which is dairy. And I've been saying for years, I don't think milk does a body good, and everybody argues with me. So can you tell us your thoughts on
this?
Well,
milk does a body good, but the body of the calf, if it's cow milk.
Yeah.
And if it's a baby human being, milk from his mother does that baby good.
That's for sure.
You know, so in all these answers to questions about how things should be, then if you really want to know the answer, you have to look at the places where things are functioning as they were designed by nature.
Exactly.
See, because that's the way things should be, the way nature designed it, the way nature made it happen through thousands of years of evolution. Now, the bad thing about the humans is that we can't go out and look at humans that are not living in a modern way, because we destroyed everybody that lived as nature designed humans to live. They were running around naked, so we thought they were savages.
Yeah.
And then we're left without an example. So right now, anybody's guess, you know? Okay, so what should man eat? What should humans eat? You go to a library, there's thousands of opinions.
Yeah.
But the truth is nobody really knows. Now, if you ask what should dogs eat, and you go and you find dogs in the wild, then you can copy what they do and use it with your dog at home, right?
Yes.
Now, when we look outside at the animals in the wild, just to try to understand how nature does things, then we see some things that may be useful to us. For example, there is no mammal on the planet that, after stopping breastfeeding, continues to drink milk, stealing it from a different kind of mammal.
That would be pretty odd.
So it's for sure unnatural. Now, does it do a body good? I don't know, but taking it away, I know, does a body good, because many, many, many of my patients come here with allergies and, you know, symptoms of arthritis and you name it, whatever. And sometimes the only thing that I manage to do with them is convince them to stop drinking any kind of dairy product or eating any kind of dairy product for at least 3 months. And when I do that, it's just mind-blowing how things get better.
I bet. You know, because a lot of your book talks about the importance of the integrity of the gut and keeping the gut healthy and the mucus in the body. If you can tell us a little bit about that and also about wheat, because I understand that wheat is also mucus producing and not so great for people, even whole grain wheat.
Yeah. You know, the big concept that I was left with after all this investigation and research that I did, and I did it not to be a hip doctor or an alternative doctor, which seems to be in fashion now.
Yeah.
I did it to save my life. So what I found now is basically, this is my understanding. The body is incredibly intelligent, and it's trillions of chemical reactions of which it depends or which actually make the body. They are happening by themselves, as if guided by an invisible hand. Two things prevent these chemical reactions from happening in a normal way that translates in a normal functioning body. These two things are either certain obstacles that block the chemical reaction needed, or things that are lacking that don't allow the chemical reaction to happen. You know, with molecule A and molecule B have to join to form molecule C. If there is no molecule A, then there is no reaction.
Oh, okay.
And if the molecule B is stuck to another type of molecule that keeps it away from the reaction, then there is no reaction either. So when you remove the obstacles and you add whatever is lacking, everything falls back into place, function is restored, and diseases disappear.
I see.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's basically the big concept behind integrative medicine, or its best example in the United States, the Institute of Functional Medicine, which teaches functional medicine, which this is really what it bases itself on.
Yes. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Instead, when you go to the doctor today, they look for the symptom and they give you some kind of chemical that blocks the symptom from being created. So instead of removing obstacles and adding what's lacking so that you can restore normal body function, you're actually getting an extra obstacle to block a path of reactions that the body actually activated in order to survive something. Because also you have to think that your body is guided by the force of survival. Everything that your body is doing, everything is done to survive.
Yeah. Wow.
So if your body is so intelligent and something is happening that you distinguish or that you understand as a disease, the truth is that that is your body trying to survive something. So instead of killing that, try to find what your body's trying to survive.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because, you know, that's the thing about the medication is it's going to suppress what's really happening in your body instead of figuring out what the heck is going on. And
exactly.
That's something that doctors, that's why you're so great because not that many people have done that. And, you know, you talk in your book about, and I had the quote written down. I apologize. I had it right in front of me a minute ago. But you were talking about basically that the doctors, they're looking for what they know, but they're not looking for what they don't know. And
well,
so,
yeah, they find what they're looking for.
But
they only look for what they know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great diagnosticians. Yeah, we usually end up finding what we are looking for, but we only look for what we already know. Now, it's funny because my dad's an ophthalmologist, and he told me this. He said, there's a little secret you should know about doctors. And he said this to me, and he said, I love doctors. He said, but, you know, like, for example, my daughter has Asperger's and some other special needs, and it was really hard to get her diagnosed. And a lot of times they literally would, if they didn't know, they didn't know what they were looking for, they would just be like, I don't know, she seems okay, or I don't know. And I said that to my dad, and he said, yeah, because they don't know what they're looking for. It's not something that's familiar to them. And this whole note, this whole important thing that you're talking about with the toxicity, they need to know this because they don't know what they're looking for.
It's like I say in the book, medicine and actually the modern world is detox blind. We just don't know that. And on top of everything, to make things matters worse, we have experts, you know, serious, academic, respected experts coming and with a straight face saying that detoxification is quackery and dangerous.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's just ignorance.
It is ignorance.
You know, when I hear that, I say my prayer, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're saying.
Yes. Now, how do your colleagues react? I mean, I assume you have other doctors who are into open-minded medicine, which I was going to ask you about in a minute, but what about more mainstream conventional doctors? Have they been more, at least, willing to hear you out?
Well, you know, the thing is, there is a branch of medicine or a style of medicine or a school of medicine, if you will, in America called the Institute for Functional Medicine. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't, but I have now from reading your book, but I'm interested in hearing more.
This school of medicine really was born in a very grassroots form, manner, and it's all the baby or you know, the creation of the mind of one of the greatest scientists or one of the greatest minds alive today, in my opinion, Jeffrey Bland, who basically came up with this a translation of an Eastern paradigm of thinking into a Western world, into a medical Western language that uses, you know, all the technology and everything that we already know, but also the view of human beings as a whole and the planet as a system. So this Institute of Functional Medicine has been doing as a grassroots movement, a dissemination of their teachings, and they're training many, many health practitioners around the United States in these courses that they have called the AFMCP, Applying Functional Medicine in Clinical Practice. And once doctors leave this course, they have this new way of approaching things, of looking for the obstacles and and also looking for what is lacking so the obstacles can be removed and depletions can be restored. And they are doing an amazing job. I mean, I'm one of their students, and this is today a growing movement. So you'd soon hear about it if you hadn't heard from me.
Yeah, no, because, I think that's wonderful.
Because I believe that functional medicine is going to take over the whole system in the United States, which, by the way, is collapsing.
Yes. Yeah. I really hope so, because I've been thinking these kinds of things for years. And I mean, I'm a very, you know, natural and healthy person. And I just wish more doctors would take the time. You know, I did a television program in California called Health Power. And there was a doctor that I interviewed, and this was in the late 90s. And he was great. He was all about mind-body medicine. And he was, you know, a mainstream doctor who, again, really reached out and taught meditation classes and would really take the time with his patients and ask them about their lifestyle and their community and their relationships. You mentioned earlier toxic relationships. And I don't think people realize how negative that is to their overall health and happiness.
Listen, I would spend the whole day talking to you, but I have two patients waiting for me.
Oh, I know you have to go. Well, I just want to thank you so much, and I want to encourage everyone to go get your book, Clean. Thank you so much for joining us today. You were wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, I want to thank everyone for listening, and next week we're going to be joined by Linda Gallagher, who is at Stepping Stones here in Bradford, Massachusetts. And we're also going to be joined by Norm Russo, who is the owner of Fitness Together in Cambridge. And everybody, oh, and then next Tuesday, August 25th, Devin Alexander, who has written many best-selling books. One of them is The Biggest Loser Family Cookbook and The Biggest Loser Cookbook and lots of other great stuff. So anyway, have a great week. Keep being healthy. And thanks so much. And sorry about the time confusion today. Bye-bye.